The check there, where the Derech Hashem explains the relationship between Jew and Gentile, between Israel and Goy. Now, I'm afraid I've got to speak a little more softly than I do usually, because I was at the doctor today, and he said that for a couple of weeks I've just got to do no speaking at all, which is impossible, or very little speaking, which is almost impossible. Or if I can't do that, then I just have to lower my voice. So I hope you'll be able to hear me. If you can't, you must just tell me. Now, I think I've explained to you that there are matters that are very difficult for us Californians to understand. We have been indoctrinated. Now, to be indoctrinated is one thing, but to be indoctrinated and not to know that you are being indoctrinated, to believe that this is your own idea and this is exactly the treaty, that is a disastrous situation. But that is the situation as it obtains at the moment in California. To give you just some examples, we in California think that we are the most privileged Jews anywhere in the world. Not only are we the most privileged Jews, but the people of California are the most privileged people, because we are given so much freedom. Now, but look at the price we've got to pay for it. We are given so much freedom, but it's a freedom that is conditioned by non-Torah ideas. That is the freedom. To give you one example, and I've just been consulted on this matter from Seattle, where this convention took place. It is decided that gays can be rabbis. Gay or lesbians by the Reform Movement can, may be rabbis. It's quite in order. Now this is all the result of the atmosphere which we live and the society in which we live. I thought that the reason was that because congregants felt safer with their wives if they had a homosexual rabbi, and wives felt safer with their husbands if they had a lesbian rabbi. But I was told at that point it would come up at the convention at all, and they said that if it is a question where the dignity of a person is affected, then the thing is wrong and they are right. So they've got the right to say that that dignity must be given. And the person who consulted me said that he was brought into this discussion, and he said, does that mean that if a man is a murderer, that you must give him his dignity? Give him everything, he's absolutely all right, he can be a rabbi. So this person said, he was at the convention, he said, I don't know the answer to that, but you have to consider it. But if this is what it's come down to, I'm giving you that example as an example, that is why it is so difficult for us to grasp these concepts. We have been indoctrinated to things that are anti-Torah, and we have been given to believe that this is the most wonderful thing that has happened to the Jewish people, and this is Judaism. All right, be that as it may, I'm giving you that example only for that reason, that we should know how difficult it is to get down a total view on this. We've got to change our whole way of life. I had some Russians who came to see me this afternoon, and in the course of the discussion, they told me that when they came to America, they had several shocks. The first shock was a culture shock. It is so completely different. The culture is so completely different. That was the first shock. The second shock was this culture, Californian culture. That was the second shock. And the third shock was that they realized that Jewish culture is completely different from Californian culture. So they have had three shocks. The interesting thing is these people who came to see me have survived all three shocks. But I can very well understand that there are those who have not survived these shocks. But this is in the position which we find ourselves. So yeah, we are going to deal with the relationship between Jew and Gentile, between Israel and Goy, and these differences which are mentioned here are fundamental differences. So now, without any more ado, let us get started. I'm going to do the Hebrew in larger doses than I've done hitherto. And the reason for that, Edith, can you hear me comfortably from where you are or not?
Yes, I can.
Jimmy, Hanabasia, Elizabeth, can you hear me all right? Tell me if you can't hear me. Now, what I'm doing is I do the Hebrew and I translate from the Hebrew. I don't translate from the English. Not that there's anything wrong with the English translation, it's an excellent translation. It's by Aryeh Kaplan. Nothing wrong at all with it. But there are difficult ideas, and when I translate from the original, then, and I've got you in front of me, I can more or less tell when you're following it, you're not following it, and I can make the necessary explanations. Now, he begins by saying, you know, in Yorimu Amukim Shebehan Hoga is Borashimo, Shebehan Hoga So, is Borashimo, who even is Joel the Umas of Olam, Shemichach Tevoe, no, she nearly a Yosom, Shobin the Mess, Umichach in Yenea Tero, and Shonim Shibu Godo, Nidolim, Kemini, Mishalfin the Gamba. So he says, one of the deeper aspects of Torah is in one of the deeper aspects on in the way Hashem relates with human beings is the question of Jews and Gentiles. Because if one were just to look superficially at the nature of people, at the nature of Jews and the nature of Gentiles, it would appear that they are absolutely the same. However, but from the point of view of the Torah, from the aspect of the Torah, the difference is such a great difference that they are to be considered as two separate categories altogether. And now we will set about to explain this. And we will explain in what ways are Goyim the same as Jews, and in what ways are Goyim different from Jews. But we've got to know that there is a difference between the two. Now there again, we are being inculcated with the idea that there is no difference between a Goy and a Jew. And I think I mentioned this last time already, that at the universities, as soon as our young people come to universities, they are taught no difference between white and black, or red and yellow, and olive skin, coffee skin, no difference. No difference between Jew and Gentile, and you just live together, and young men and women are encouraged to live together and to make no distinction, Jew or non-Jew or anything like that. Now, our young people are brought up with this, and I've been dealing in Los Angeles with some of these people, and it is very difficult for them to see, they think that that is the right way, that this is freedom, this is equality. They think that that is the most wonderful thing that there is. Of course, to tell a person that, a young person, no restrictions. The sexual impulse is the strongest of all impulses. And telling the king, there's no restriction, you can do what you like. Just choose. That's all it is to it. You know how easy it is. Of course they fall for it. How strong a person must be not to fall for it. How highly principled a young man and a woman, they boys and girls, must be not to fall for. And these are their teachers that are telling them this. This is the danger to which our young people are exposed. And now we come and we teach something that is completely different from that. What is so wonderful, and this is one of the miracles of the post-World War II world, what is so wonderful is the caliber of young person that we've got coming to us. I'm speaking of people of great integrity, people of great intelligence, people of great achievement, not of a dropout who's just looking for something to catch hold of, but people of achievement. And the wonderful thing is how they are coming back and realizing that what they have gone through is altogether wrong. Now, so the Derech Hashem begins, paragraph 2, Odom Orishon, Kodim Chete Hoi, B'matzav Elyon Na'ol, B'mashi Hu Odom Ato, U'chavol Be'anu Inyin Zeh B'chelek Alef Elek Gimel, U'madrego Zo Inushi Yifrati HaMatzav Alu Reis HaMadrego Nichbedes Na'ol, Re'uye Lamalo Romo Nitzchi B'mashi Zohar. Now, this is something that we've already dealt with, the Derech Hashem says, and we spend some time on it. The first man, when he was created, he was a man that was absolutely, as far as his intelligence concerned, he was absolutely on all heights. As far as his spirituality was concerned, he was on the greatest of all heights. And from there, he could soar ever upwards. That was the position of the first man that was created. God's handiwork. So, for several reasons, he was so great. The first reason is, he was not a Yevlut Ishur. He was not born of woman. So, the only man that has ever lived who was not born of woman. Even the Christians say that their God was born of woman. He didn't have a father. But they couldn't get away from it that he had a mother. So this is something that is quite extraordinary. That was the first man. The second thing is, he was the creation of God himself. God gave him. The third thing is, he was created with all his senses. So he was created in the prime of life. He wasn't created a baby in napkins and diapers. He was created in the prime of life, when he was at his best, and he sees the world around him. Can you imagine what it is? And he looks and he says that the sun is moving. What is that about? He's only got one whom he can ask, and who is that? Hashem. And he's got communication, and Hashem explains it to him. And that was the first man, so we can understand on what height he was. The ilu lo ho yochote, and had he not sinned, ho yo mishtalimu visali od ilui al ilu, had he not sinned, he would have gone to greater perfection and advanced to an ever higher spiritual level. That is what he was destined to be. By the way, if there's any question you have on anything that we have said, please stop me in the middle. Yes.
And this is what the Rabbi just said about, if he had not sinned, Adam would have gone to a greater spiritual level. Would that necessarily preclude him having children by physical means?
No. No. Oh, the children would still be by physical means, but he would go to very great heights. He would have gone to ever greater heights. Eventually, there wouldn't have been the question of death as we understand it now. There would have been the spiritualization of the body, as was the case in Eliyahu HaNavi, where there was no death. In Moshe Rabbeinu, it was close to that. Nobody knows really, very really. It was the closest to Eliyahu HaNavi that said. But you'll have to ask me another question in regard to that just now.
Yes. And I do have a question.
Yes.
If an apparition was put onto this world in the prime of life, and he was perfection, how could he get higher if there's perfection there already?
Well, it wasn't perfection, but he was able to go. He was absolutely at his height, but that wasn't perfection yet.
Mm-hmm.
He could have gone ever higher. and ever higher until he would have reached the ultimate stage of human perfection. And when he could have reached the ultimate stage of human perfection, then there would have been the transition to a state where it was all spirit, all abstract. There would have been nothing concrete. All right? Yes, Betty?
Is this going to happen at some point in the future of the world?
Well, I don't think we should project ourselves into the future just yet.
Might this happen?
Well, it's not. This has got to do with the Kriyas Amazing, which he was to speak about. We've dealt with it a little bit, but we shall still speak about it some more. It comes in here also. Yes, Barbara?
Would all man have climbed too, or could they also have sustained and fallen?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. It would appear that all people would have come to that there wouldn't have been the inclination not to do that. The inclination came with Adam or Isha, and I explained that to you, that the inclination was that, as in everything in life, when he came into this world, there was the physical aspect, the physical, the material aspect, and on the other hand, the spiritual. But the physical and the material aspect were means to an end. He, when he tasted of the fruit, then he realized there was such a thing as the physical and the material being an end in itself. You follow?
Yes, no one else would have had
that. I beg your pardon?
No one else would have had that.
Wouldn't have had that, no, they wouldn't have had that. But that he introduced that, and that is the foundation. That is how the foundation was laid. Yes, Jordana?
If there had been no sin and Adam had progeny, would there be ruin of the world?
That is very difficult to answer. My first reaction to that would be that there would be a Yeridus Adoris, but nothing like the Yeridus Adoris of today. Yeridus Adoris would have been simply because the first man was created by God, and every generation is further from that, but only for that reason. But nothing like it was today. And it's possible that it could be stemmed, that it could be made up, that we shall have something about that. It's possible that it could have been made up in other ways. All right? Now, the Hineba, Osa Matavatev, Hoyulola, Holy Tolodis, here we've got it. Now, in that state in which he was, in that high state, he would have given birth to children in that high state. Mispar Meshoar Mechokmosa Yisborg Shemo, Apiamitis Mashevoi, Mishlemus, Anehemi, Betuba Yisborg Shemo, Behoyu Kulum Nehemi Limo, Vatovahu. What he's really saying is that anybody who would have been born of the first man and the first woman would have been on that same high level and would have been able to enjoy the world on that spiritual level, the same as Adam and Chava would have themselves. So in other words, the issue would have been exactly the same as the parents. There's one thing that he's saying here that I'm not altogether at home with. I don't quite understand what it means. I don't think it is quite as I would translate it literally. It would have seemed that he says that there would be only so many people born, and that would be predetermined. I don't think it means that. I think it means that the generations would be predetermined, that there would be so many generations. But that will also become a little bit clearer later on. The Omnom, I tell Lodas or Elish or Yoroi Sheyori, Nigzuru the Showeru the Rapon of his Borashamel, the Showeru's Vadrosus, the Chodos, Beirush, Sheyubihem Roshim, the Nipolim, Shoroshim, Banofim, in Shochim Ze Achate, the Sayyid in the Yuchos, Ki Ilonis the Unfayed, who Misparu Ilonis and Misparu Nofim, until the Showeru the Sakhis are different. So what he says here is that in the same way as you've got a tree, the tree has got its roots, and then it's got its trunk, and from this trunk go out boughs, and from the boughs go out branches, and from the branches stems, and from the stems twigs, and these have leaves. So it would have been with the human being that it would have been born. It would appear that they would not all necessarily have been on quite the same level, but there would have been those who were roots and those who were branches. But I think also he's projecting into the future, which we should, which will become clearer as we go on. V'nei v'cheto yorad v'od v'madreg oso v'nichlal do min ha-choshech v'ho achilus shir godol. Moshe Zocharnu uchlol ha-minu ha-enoshi yorad v'madreg oso v'omad v'madreg oso v'fola me'od v'yti re'uya v'mal ho-roma ha-nitzchis she's alelo v'rishonu. Now he says, Adam, the first man, as soon as he sinned, he fell from that high level. And now there was introduced to him Choshech v'vachiris. Choshech is darkness, an absence of light, an absence of understanding thoroughly, and huachirus is literally an ugliness. I see that Kaplan had difficulty with that word huachirus, ugliness, and translated it insensitivity. It is insensitivity, but it goes beyond that. So, as soon as that happened, now his life, his whole outlook, was now, there was darkness in it, didn't have the clarity of seeing things, and in addition to that, there was an ugliness that was introduced which wasn't there before. Now, I want to try and explain to you what was the ugliness here in his life. Let us try and understand it on, say, a level of sexuality. Before the sin, there was only two aspects of sex. The one aspect was of recreating, of having children. That is the one aspect. The other aspect was of creating a idea of oneness, of unity between the two sexes. Now, this idea of unity is one that is at the very basis of the whole creation. The essence of Hashem is that He is one. That is the essence of Hashem. And part of the world was created in such a way that man would have something to do in bringing about the idea of unity. Now, the unity of Shem is something quite different from any other unity, but there is a relationship. And so, the unity of man and woman was something that was highly to be desired from the very outset, in the sense that they were to complement one another and to be a whole. And that was the purpose, that was the whole idea of sex. Now, of food, it is very much the same thing. Of food, of course there is to be enjoyment of food. There is no question of that. But it is a different kind of enjoyment than a purely material enjoyment. But the food was to keep body and soul together. So it was a means of creating a unity, that body and soul are to be together. So, when Adam and Eve tasted the first time of the food, they tasted of the food for quite a different reason. And they realized that it was good, it was just pleasant to taste, it was enjoyable. So instead of food being an end, a means to an end, it became an end. In sex, instead of sex being a means to an end, sex became an end in itself. And that was the greatest downfall of man. Kanabasya, you seem perplexed, or are you confused? Thinking, all right. That means you're perplexed if you're thinking. If you're confused, you don't think anymore, right? Yes, Hannah.
How can the men's shame we feel,
yes,
sexual shame, and we aren't ashamed of eating?
We are not ashamed of eating.
Well, I'm not.
Well,
I mean, nothing to do with.
Well, you know, it's not altogether correct. First of all, the answer to that is because sexual shame goes right down to the rock bottom of it. Whereas eating, but this is such a fundamental issue, and it's there that we fail, so we are ashamed of it. You follow? Eating is not so fundamental an issue as that was. But there's something else also. You know, we are ashamed of eating. Now I want to tell you that it's not considered correct for a person to come into a place where other people are eating. For example, if I'm coming to visit you and you are busy eating, then I don't come into your dining room. I go into your lounge or drawing room or sitting room or whatever it is, parlor, whatever it is, and then I wait until you finish. But you don't come and watch people eating. Now that was something that was strictly observed. But we are living in a very primitive society here. I mean, yeah, we haven't got a dining room. Well, kitchen, dining room, lounge, all together one. This is part of the Eurydice Adelis. The only thing is in the rest of the world, it hasn't come down as low as it's come down in California. I mean, this is not the way to live. But that is what was understood, that you didn't go in when people were eating, you didn't go in. And if you did go in, you gave them a blessing. You can say you gave them a blessing. What did you want to say, Simon?
No, I'm not possible. I can see where a man fell with the eating aspect. Where exactly did man fall with the sexual aspect? Because here in Gan Eden, the person said that was not a punishment. Once left in Eden, he said that
yes.
Where exactly did they fall? Was it a specific time, or that was just
part of the I don't quite understand your question. If you could just repeat to me again.
Is that a specific instance in the Torah where we see that man is perverted the sexual aspect?
From the very moment that he tasted that fruit. And that is why they were ashamed. Mm-hmm. From that very moment that he tasted that fruit, it is gone. From then they were to come. Now, you know, it's a very great divide when one comes to think of it, between means to an end and an end in itself. It's a very great difference. And that was the essential difference in the fall. The difference between where these were means to an end and he sees them an end in itself. I was, when I was traveling back from Los Angeles on Monday, it was a 3-3 plane, 3 seats here and 3 seats there. All right, I knew it wasn't a full plane. I always take an aisle seat. Well, what, the worst that can happen, one person comes. The very worst thing can happen is two people come, but I didn't realize that it would be something even worse than that. So two people came to me, sit there. The one was a young woman, and she said to the man, "I'll take the window seat." And she took the window seat, and he took the middle seat. But he needed two seats at least. He was huge. I think, you know, they come around and they say, but he was just drinking and drinking. He was an acuteness, he was an ugliness there. There was just an ugliness there. Well, if you have something to drink, fine, but there was an ugliness there. So that is, even we do everything we can to raise our level of eating. We do everything we can to raise the sexual impulse. There is marriage, there is kiddushin, there is tzedakah hamishpocha. We do everything we can to raise it. There are forbidden things, there is arayas. We do everything we can to raise it, that it shouldn't come down to the very lowest level. So we call it marriage, we call it kiddushin. And in the same as eating, we wash our hands before, we make a brochet, we bench, and the table is a mizbeach. We say, why is it a mizbeach? Because we are supplying the soul. It is looking after the food, it is looking after the soul. So it's a great thing. And we try as much as possible to restore it to something of that level which it is meant to be. Hurrah? Right, now let's go on a little bit further. Now, so, and when man fell, then he was no longer in a state to reach that height for which he had previously been destined. And now his whole being is only a preparation for a level considerably lower than that. That's what he's being prepared for a much lower level of life. The same thing as a person has been accustomed to a high standard of living, and something happens, he can't afford it anymore, and then he comes down to his lowest standard of living. Of course, everything is different. It's a lower standard of living. Now we are speaking about the whole question of life, the spirituality, the morality, the intellectuality of life. He is no longer fitted for that high level. Can't take it. He's at a much lower level now, and that's the level to which he must adapt himself. And now it is in this state that he gives birth to children. And the children to whom he gives birth are now on his level. Same as his level. Those are the people that come into the world. The Omnum Afafite, Le Chodami, Motse Bichol, Madreges Aminu, Neji, Vitak Shosho Amiti. Now that comes a very important paragraph, and this paragraph is the key to very much of what is coming after. Now we have reached the stage where we understand that man has fallen from that level, and now he's on a low level. But now comes a very interesting thing. Hashem, through his understanding and his mercy, still left a possibility for man to come back to where he was. Now he's going to explain that. He says, a man wasn't abandoned completely, that it would be impossible ever to return to this high level. He said, but in actuality he was on this low level, but potentially he had in him that very high level. Now I've explained to you on a previous occasion that we deal with two kinds of potentiality. For example, I can take a boy of 7 or 8 and I can say to the parents, you know, yeah, you've got a child that can be a good of Israel. He could be a great one in Israel. say, the mother says, is he going to be a guru to Israel? And I didn't say he's going to be. I said he could be a guru to Israel. That is, he's got the potential to be a guru to Israel. Now, there are some people who've got the potential, some children of 6 or 7 who've got the potential, some children of 6 and 7 who haven't got the potential. For example, you've got mathematicians and physicists about whom you can say, that man can be an Einstein one day. Could never say it about me, not at any stage of my life. I never had that potentiality. Can't say it about me. So there is a potentiality that a person has. Then there is another potentiality. I see a boy of 6 or 7, and I say to him, you know, you are going to grow up to be a big man. Now, he says an Orem Godel. I said, no, not an Orem Godel. Okay, you've got the potentiality to grow up to be a big man. What do I mean by a big man? Well, at the moment he only sees his eyes. But he can be 5 foot 6, 5 foot 7, 5 foot 8. At the moment he wears a size 4 shoe or whatever it is, can be a size 13 shoe. If that is a potential that he's got, altogether a different potential from that a child can become a great man. Altogether. So the one is a natural potential, and the other isn't a natural potential, but it's a potential that is there. It's a hidden potential. So we, those who were born of Adam and Chava, had the hidden potential. It wasn't a natural, it wasn't something that had to come, it wasn't automatic, but it was a potential which could be achieved. It was an actuality which could be achieved because of that potential which they had. So Hashem still left in the generations that succeeded the first man and the first woman, he still left the potential to come back to that first state. Now this is a very important thing to understand. And that he says, the Lavid Ko Odomorisha Nagamri, man wasn't completely abandoned. That he should never be able to return to this high level. That in actuality he was on this low level, but potentially he had built in him the possibility of rising to these great heights. Now that is a very important paragraph that I would advise you just to mark that paragraph, because it is so important. It is really the key of what comes after this. Now he says, the Himmel, going on to the next paragraph. The son of Adon Baruch Hu, Bnei Atelot Esrohem, Shemim Tzuba Isazman, Esa Beshiro, Chihav Kudishtadlu, Rizhalu, Inabrei Edei Gashpolo, Elosim Atmon Bamadei Goyerno. Now, next point he says, so all these who were born now, these generations that were born had the potentiality to come back to what Adam HaRishon was. And in order for them to come back to that position, they had the Chiro. And we have discussed in the previous chapters what the importance of the Bechira was, of the predetermination of will, and why that was all important for their spiritual development. And so they are able to choose for themselves a means in which they would become spiritually strengthened and able to rise to these great heights. V'niach lohem zman gadovo. Now comes a very important statement. That Hashem set a time limit for that. That could be a time limit. How long he is giving mankind a chance to come back to that level on which Adam was. And he explained the Derech Hashem lays down a principle. And the principle is that anything that requires human effort must have a time limit, a deadline. That is what Sharon Levine referred to in respect to his in the clear part of the community of the city. That is what she was referring to. There's got to be a time limit for it. This is the best example, and he's going to refer to it, is the life of man. We have been put upon earth to reach as much as is humanly possible of perfection. But there's a time limit, and that is the lifespan. That is the time limit. After that, it's over. You can't do anything about it afterwards. But until that time, that is the time we've been given. So now he tells us, the Derech Hashem says, that Hashem sets a time limit. How long have people got the opportunity to reach their great heights? Yes?
Well, you have to say people live hundreds and hundreds of years, and now that we need more time, man seems to live less.
Well, in the time of the Torah, they didn't live hundreds and hundreds of years. In the Torah was given, Moshe Rabbeinu only lived 120 years. So then it was already. But you know, as Sima, there are two sides to a coin. As you say, with hundreds and hundreds of years, just look what he could achieve. He could do so much more. Just look what he could lose that time. And especially if he's got a lot of time. If he's got a lot of time, just look what he can do. He's got heaps of time. Doesn't have to worry about it. So that is the reason why God chooses to do it. To give us less time, but more initiative, more motivation. Yes, if I may.
Could it ever be that if a person reaches the point that they could present, the highest point they could potentially reach, that they would die young instead of going on? They
would
die very young if they reached that point.
Yes, that would be so, but I don't know how far it's possible to reach that stage. But only you and I will be able to reach that stage. But I thought that Ruth was coming to this question, but you can ask the question which you haven't asked yet, but which I hope you're going to ask. If you get whose death was a greater death, that of Moshe or that of Avraham Avinu? Well, what would you say was a higher level of death? You know, in last week's Sedra, Bilam said, you remember, he said, I would like to die like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But what he didn't say well, it was, I would like to live like them. He didn't want to live like them, he wanted to die like them. But there are different types of death. Which is a more elevated type of dying?
Moshe
Rabbeinu. That nobody even knows where he's buried. Hashem attended to it. Died. So, does that mean to say that Moshe Rabbeinu was greater than Avraham Avinu? Whose type of death was the greater one? Eliyahu HaNavi or Moshe Rabbeinu? And does that mean they were greater than Moshe Rabbeinu? So you haven't asked that question yet. So I'll wait until you ask that question and I'll give you the answer. Alright. Getting the idea of it. So, he gave to men the hero, and he gave to them the strength they could get back to where they were. B'niach lehem zman l'dolo, but he gave a time limit. Kavosh yashiru achok mo yeme yes noishlish tadrit ahim. Now, what was the criterion of this time limit? That was the highest wisdom, which is Hashem. He decided what was a time limit. says, we can't say why he decided exactly that time limit. He's going to tell us what that time limit is. I'm not going to keep you suspense all that time. I'll keep you suspense at least what the time limit was. But we will know what the time limit was. Why Hashem should have chosen that particular time limit, I can tell you. I can tell you why Hashem chose the time limit, reduced man's life to 120. I've explained to you. Because it was too dangerous, it could do too much harm, and it would keep us saving things. Now, I firmly believe that the reason people are living so much longer today is to give the human being a chance to just get a little bit more. You know, the average lifespan, what was it you used to?
Pardon? 1800
was about 40 years, but I was speaking even about 1900. It wasn't much more than 40.
Much less.
Is it in the 40s? But this is in 1900. And it's improved all the time, it's improved. Now, the scientist says it's improved because of science. But we want to know why is surprised to be given the opportunity to have it improved. You see? And the most wonderful things have happened. And people are living longer, and we see much more happening. Now, you know, that is happening in communication. And the things we are able to do today, especially the fence machine, satellite, a communication by satellite. I mean, you know, that's very unreal. Once upon a time, we could transmit for a few thousand miles. So now we can transmit for many thousands of years. And with an excellent protection by satellite, we said, look at the advantage of the changes that it's got. Look at the little things that it's got. The early man, a year ago, nobody could have predicted what it comes out of. But why should it collapse? And it is that all the satellite countries of Russia, they be giving their single hand, Russia wouldn't be able to keep them anymore. That the great Russia has got to come bigger from the present strong economic nations in the world, has got to become into such a thing. Both of our bigger countries are ruled. And then the kind nations say, well, think of what we'll do. We will help you to re-establish yourselves. We will help you to develop the industry of your commerce and your own people over there. And so the secretary is nothing less. It's no good sitting in a man who's down with hunger. It's no good sitting in a man who's down with hunger, but they cannot do their own place. Well, can you get? They said, we've got to do that freely. That means, we won't see that it's going to be a shock. We want money to buy it freely. That is the first thing we do. And, although they want to get a good technology, and Germany said, no, you've got to get much more than that. So we see. And I have seen the elements from Russia. One thing, they had to leave you in order to establish ourselves. And the other communists have been there. The other people who don't have a revolution there. They've got nothing to do. If you see Russia, speak in some Russia. And then the first communists have had to live. They love you so much. The communists, you see, the communists are not going to do it. They've got to put things on the floor. But we've already got a plan. But we've got everything. But we've got the industry. And we've got commerce. Now, and then it came out that it couldn't predict that there was anything like that. That they would come to look at something, and that is what is happening. And these countries, so much is happening in so short a time. And the course of these things must be made to balance. I mean, this is the time. To me, of course, it means very much more. Because I've seen the development of it all. And I know, as the world, that in the 1930s, when the Communist Party died in 1933,
and
that what he says is that
well, there ought to be a time to rectify all the misdeeds of mankind. A time had to be given to rectify that, and then to get back to that place, to that height that they were up. Yeah, did you know? Who was man established yourself down there? She needs to reach to the corner and say, the person has man who shall be charged with that, the whole of the world of my dear is there in it. The yoga is, the yoga is out for the world, the common is so much echo, tell the yoga, look in the man or Roma, or you the visual of the matter of the world, is below all of the matter of the good girl. He says, so there was a definite time that was given, and during this time, all opportunity was open for man to reach this high level. And that he should be on the high level and not in a state of degradation. The same Yasichi, Nothe no Laisi, say, Dosum, or Imlo, Kulubikino, say, and then he would have been given that power, and anyone living to those heights, that person would have been given the power to have children on that level. Perush, the Ezra Mazazo Master, Shekamo Izi could be sure, she said, that as a root, if a person was able to reach that level, then his children would also be able to have that. Yeah, the time that was given, I don't think it's good inside, the time that was given was 20 generations. That is until the day of Noah. Which was the day of Noah?
Yeah.
After Noah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I was born in the book.
So anybody that reached that stage by the 20th generation, that person might. He's ready for it. Any person who reached that stage, nobody reached that stage. Nobody. Time is up. That means that mankind could never get back to that. My statement is not going to give a lesson. Nobody was there excepting one single person. That is Abraham Avinu. He was the only one that was able to, that perfected himself to such a degree that now he had reached a stage of that all the Mauritian was before the fight. What was he having about his children? At least potentially they've got that. He's got it. That's the difference between Jew and God. That's where we start. That is the great divide. From that moment on, now we're just beginning the subject. Got the idea?
There were his sons. Well, not a Jew.
Yes, it shows. But only the potential was there. Yitzchak was. Yaakov was. Yaakov's 12 sons were.
Yeah.
He lived today. I just wanted to discuss something else with you. We have decided that August the 4th would be a communal Sabbath in which each of us would invite two of our friends who did not belong to our community to attend. and the reason was to expose us to the wider community. We don't tout for membership. We've never done that. We consider that to be immoral. If a person wants to come to our shul, wants to come to our services, as any benefit from us, with the greatest of pleasure. We are open to anybody in our services, open to anybody. But that's not the way it would come across in the community. In the community, they say nasty things about other folks, which I don't like. They say nasty things about me, which I don't mind. So, what we want is, we want to expose Am Echad to the wider community. Now, we wanted to have August the 5th, the day that the Shabbos Nachamu. So I had a meeting today, and we decided that if there were six people who had managed to get two people invited who said that they were coming, then we would leave it at August the 4th. So I made a survey at shul today. Anybody found two people? I would hate to tell you how many responded.
Remember?
No. Even at the time of Zola Yoga, one of them was one. There was one. Yes?
Yes,
they from San Jose.
No.
We don't stand those days. We've spoken to San Jose. We've got a wonderful name in the rest of the world. But only some of them will come such a bad thing. So all we want is to be exposed. Now, there's some people who are not allowed to come to us before. We don't mind. We don't mind. There is nothing as bad as that locust. Our principle is, if anybody wants to fight with us, they fight alone. So only somebody who wants to come. That's the opportunity to expose and the hope to the rest of the community. I don't think I'm going to embarrass you as I embarrass the morning shoe this evening by calling each one out to by name and saying, well, what did you want to do out of this? I don't do it to you. But I'm assuming that we won't find six who have already made the list of the arrangements. So we decided that we would postpone it until we were ready. To give them, make it a full month. And I've drawn up something for the invitation, and I'm giving it to Sina. Sina can just look at it. I don't mind what you do with it, Sina. And then it's just a word about a couple of paragraphs about Amen Chod, and then sitting out the invitation. As soon as you've set that out, you can tell me about it, my wife about it, and how dry and interested in getting the train written and doing it. So is that all right?
Well, of course, the problem though is being announced in the JCA.
Yes.
And that's where people read it, and it's just...
People read the JCA, we are dependent completely on what they
have. That's our publicity.
That's our publicity. So much so that I gave a shiur last Thursday for men only.
I read about that today.
So it shows what he...
But you ever seen him once before in a good sign?
Yeah, good sign. There wasn't one person who came as a member. Not one. And this was a
member. But I'm saying it's more of an in sign.
This was an address on how men relate to their wives.
Yeah.
Not a single person came from outside. Not one. So that is how much he had to
do.
You
didn't really read it in sign.
But you didn't read it in sign because I've done it before.
I don't know what it is, I
don't know what it is. You or anybody, why would you become this? We know about it. Why did you do it? Why did you put it in the JCA? That is what they say. Just it out. Why was it in the JCA? That is how much that is worth to us. We are known all over the world, not through the newspapers. Just by people who have come and who have seen us. That's the only way we become known. So, all that said, we're putting the next JCA on August 11th. Not a big deal. But that's exactly how many people have been there. Not a single one. has been, they can see it. For the remedy has been sight. Did you see the difference between the two afterwards? Well, I'll give you that. Could I just see you for one moment? The sheep, I smote the lion and the bear, and as I smote the lion and the bear, so will I smite the Philistine. It just didn't make sense that the lion and the bear come and say, and I go after this. I had an irresistible impulse. It was overpowering, it was overwhelming. I just had to go after the lion and the bear. And I killed him. Is that normal? Is it normal? It's abnormal. This is something that does not belong to the whole world of nature. There was something that Hashem wanted to teach the young children. And now the time has come, now and the first wise one. In the same way as I dealt with the lion and with the bear, I will deal with the first time. So there is in life a power that is far greater than nature. If a person sins with his blood, very, very difficult to come back. Is hopefully the only thing that can save you is America. My uncle used to say, and it's really a Ramban. The Ramban says, you've got to rely on the miracles that took place. I should not make a special miracle for him. Doesn't deserve it. You've got to rely on the miracles that took place and that can save you. You know that it is a power greater than nature. But for that you've got to be great in yourself.
The people of Shushan, did they sin or did you know if they sin by blood or by mud?
No, the answer is that they sin by mud.
By mud. But when they sin, they didn't know what they're saying.
The miracle was for another thing. The miracle was that Hashem prepared the fear before the microphone to send Esther. That was all the miracle. And that Esther is called to the king and that she should be spared. That is why they fasted. That she should be spared, because if somebody comes to the king and is fighting, what would he have? By doing that, you see, that is why they had to all that as a miracle, of course. But like this, there was no miracle in Purim. What miracle was there in Purim? If you read the story of Purim, there's no miracle there. There's no miracle.
Okay.
We know that it is the hand of Hashem there, but we don't see any miracle. It wasn't necessary. If they sinned with mud, chance for it. Prayer, repentance, all chance for
that. Because they didn't intention, that wasn't their nature to go and look at women.
Their nature didn't come in.
Right.
They didn't become like that. They went back and they regretted it. They weren't like that. It is a frailty of human life, the weakness of the flesh, and the flesh is the mud. Still, for his chance. But when the whole person is depraved, that is altogether a different story.
It's possible then that a person could sometimes, black and white. Some people might certain actions be in mud and certain actions be in blood. Is that possible? Or is that a person always acts in blood?
If a person acts in blood, he's got a very difficult task. He can come back with tshuva, but it's quite a different type of tshuva to think. Do you see what I'm
saying? Yes. The answer that Elizabeth gave, somehow, I don't know whether I didn't understand it, my mind wandered. I don't know what the answer is, but so what question?
The answer was to the question of who wrote the decree? The decree that is written in blood or in mud. It was written in mud. Who wrote that decree? the different
position of
position that they were, to, they were the king from heaven. That they were to be saved. Who wrote that? The universe said God wrote it.
No,
the people themselves.
The people themselves, right?
Immediately it's done.
No, but I mean a baby.
At the age of 20, that is the age of discretion. Responsibility comes first. That would start at only at the age of 20.
They tend to
shiva. So a person who sins with his blood, it's very difficult to do shiva, for that needs something out of, it's about nature. Of course it's possible.
Do people so much blood at this time? People don't know from
who
are, and they don't really know.
You've got to be very careful of this sort of thing, of cloud is oil, everything, of cloud is oil is good. You must have already made the distinction between water is oil and cloud is oil. Where are people? Those people who go on Thursday, sickness and water, eating these sandwiches, what do you think it's with their blood? With their mother, they're doing this. Different thing altogether. So this is not altogether. You see, there is no virtue in saying everybody is good. No virtue in that. It's Eyah Bei Hashem Tin Uro. Those who love Hashem, there must be hatred of evil. And if there isn't hatred of evil, there can't be a proper love.
So it's different when somebody just doesn't know and they don't
feel it,
compared to somebody who doesn't know and
then. You see, I know exactly what you're trying to do. Everybody is good. It's not their fault.
No, I'm not going to. Out of character here, because I thought you had said that Hashem writes it and we feel it.
No, we write it and we see it.
I thought Hashem wrote everything.
Is the way people of the third world in Santa Cruz understand. Order. But when you reach a higher stage, he wants you to understand it a little bit deeper. Isn't that clear?
Up to the point that I don't quite understand. Are you speaking about a particular action or going to the source of your
any action that a person does, that action he himself writes down. Figuratively speaking, of course. Got the idea?
Yes, I still don't quite understand. Where is the proof of eating his hands?
You sound as if you went shopping this afternoon instead of resting before the shear.
I was gathering your prizes.
I'm not sure. 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 I
maybe, and when we have the pattern, I think it's a bit
easier. Thank you. Our to tomorrow's turn, Esther.
Yes.
Could you just repeat, what do you repeat what you said Sunday morning about having a nursing woman fasting now? You can take Sunday, but then it's here. And also the time.
Yes. Nursing and pregnant women,
mm-hmm.
or, I'm sorry, nursing women or pregnant women, this is the lightest of all fasts. Fast only until they feel that they're becoming weak, or they feel that they haven't got enough milk, and then they.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Thank you.
The sense of the situation. You can eat until 5:12 tomorrow morning, and then again you can eat again at 6:12, 6:12, 15 minutes on 42. I said 6:45.
Yeah, that's 6:45.
One can eat until 5:12 this morning. So tomorrow morning, so you better get home now.